الله بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه ويوسين، والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة، تعزب الإسلام وأحلى، وتذل بها النفاق وأحلى، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. صلوات محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. Alhamdulillah and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has given us this opportunity to be amongst the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and believers of Quran, that we be able to benefit with the guidance provided by these two miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam was similar like the Holy Prophet, that their character was similar to Quran. As it was being asked about the teachings of Quran, it's been said, if you want to know the teachings of Quran, you can look and you can watch a walking Quran, that is the Holy Prophet. And if you would like to understand the personality and virtues of the Holy Prophet, you should read Quran. Similarly, as these infallible divine leaders were being the successor of the Prophet and having the same responsibility which Holy Prophet had on his shoulders, that is to accomplish the mission, to convey the words of Allah to the entire mankind. And we know that at the time that when the Holy Prophet passed away, words of Quran and words of Islam were not being able to spread all around the globe. And one of the basic reasons to appoint successors of Holy Prophet was to accomplish the mission which was being delegated to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Before we enter into the discussion briefly about the fifth component of a human being's life that every person, every community requires, that is the administrative and political structure, I would like to narrate something, because these days, these nights, if you go back, if you're able to visualize the scene of Karbala, although it's difficult to imagine the situation through which those children were going through, those ladies were going through those situation on the similar night in Karbala. But we know that Amr ibn Sa'd ordered his army to ask Imam Hussein alayhi salam to move his camps from Al-Qama, from the stream which was been coming from Furat. And from the 7th of Muharram, the supply of water was been cut. A person came in the presence of sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. And they were talking on some issue while Imam alayhi salam asked for a glass of water or whatever container it was. Imam asked for a water. When water was being brought to him, he took water into his hand and started weeping. The tears was coming down on his cheeks. Just looking to the water, Imam Ja'far Sadiq started crying. His companion was surprised that why Imam is crying while looking to a water. So he asked, "Imam, why you are crying?" He said, "In the battlefield of Karbala, my great grandfather was being slaughtered and butchered thirsty. And supply of water was being cut to his camp, and children were thirsty at that time. The value of water, who knows better than Ahlul Bayt, who knows better than Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who knows better its value more than Hazrat Sakina, who knows better value of this water other than those children's who were crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Valley of water. My dear, regardless where you are, in which country you are, even if you are buying it with your own hard-earned money, you need to be careful. And it's been said, Imam said, that Allah will reward that person that while drinking water, he remembers the thirst of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And says while drinking water, he says, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." And curse his killers and murderers. وَلْعَنَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَعْدَائِهِمْ. May Allah curse the murderers of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his companions. Allah will reward this person with tens and thousands, 10,000 or 100,000 of times. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. It is important that we may able to relate ourselves with the culture of Karbala. Somebody said very beautiful word. He said, going to Karbala, visiting Karbala is not enough. Okay, we visit Karbala, do ziyarat, it's not enough. The important is that we should be in Karbala. Ourself should be in Karbala. While we are in the Kansas city of Kansas, we should be in Karbala. While we are in Pakistan, while we are in India, while we are in Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, wherever we are, we should be Karbala. What we say in Ziyarat-e-Waris? We say, Oh Allah, if I have been on that day with Hussein, on that day I have been over there, I have helped Hussein and being his companion on that day. Today is son of Hussein is in occultation, waiting for his lovers and companions to equip themselves, groom themselves, polish their hearts, shine them with purity, so that son of Imam Hussein may reappear in this world. It is on us that how we purify ourselves with the purity of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So it is important that wherever we are, whenever, whatsoever time it is, we should feel that we are in Karbala. That our support should be towards the objectives of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. See what Imam Hussain wanted on that day. He knew that everyone will be shaheed. Everyone will be shaheed. He knew that from very beginning. Even when he left Medina, he mentioned several times while they were coming from Makkah towards Kufa. And after the direction of his caravan was being changed towards Karbala, even when he reached Karbala on the 2nd of Muharram, he again mentioned. So at several occasions he mentioned that they are heading towards end of their life in this world. But what was his objective, and how in this time in our own lives we can still be the true and sincere companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? It would not be possible until and unless we feel and we become a part of that little army of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. That should be the similarity of our objectives. And the objective of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Holy Prophet said when Imam Hussain visited last on his grave, Holy Prophet said, "Inna Allah an yaraka qatila," that Allah would like to see you shaheed. But shaheed for what? While striving to save Islam and the teachings of the Holy Prophet, to uphold and up high the flag of Islam. We need to relate ourselves in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, in our feelings. We should be able to relate ourselves with Imam Hussain alayhi salam, with the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, with the family of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that we should feel that we are in Karbala. I know that this is something difficult, but it's not impossible, my dear. It's not impossible. If it could be impossible to do so for 365 days, at least we can maintain to be in this situation with this feeling for at least these 68 days of mourning of Muharram and Safar, and especially these 12 days, which is very much important, that when Muharram used to come and Imam alayhi salam used to see do the matam and majalis in their houses. They used to invite people to come and talk about the tragedy of Karbala, they used to explain that how it has all been done, what sort of atrocities have been done to those people, innocent people in Karbala. Excellence, the word excellence is very charming, very attractive. Every one of us would like to be a perfect person, to reach the highest level of excellence. But excellence cannot be reached that easily just by saying it, that I would like to be get to the highest level of excellence. We need to see Aima alayhi salam, these divine leaders, as the role model. They are the people who will guide us towards excellence. Have you seen these imams being in so-called comfort which we have in this world? We feel that we are at comfort. That's why I'm saying a so-called comfort. So-called comfort. Have you seen? Have you ever read about it? No. All imams have gone through our difficult times. There were different situations with different imams alayhi salam. But one thing you will find common, that even their enemy, their opponents, they used to praise them. If you go through the book of Shaykh Tabarsi, Kitab Al-Ihtijaj, in which there have been many discussions and debates has been narrated, which were been between Shia and Sunnah, or Muslim and non-Muslims, Christians, Jews, atheists, different thing has been written over there. You will see, and other books. This is book from Shia, but if you go through the Sunnah historical books, you will find that in every era that people used to praise these people, although all of them were not the followers of Imam alayhi salam, but they used to admire the progeny of the Holy Prophet. They used to praise them. They used to learn from their schools. They used to go to them to seek knowledge, because there was no one else except these divine people and leaders over there at that time. And we, the believers, we don't have much time to learn from these divine leaders. How come? These learnings are not only for these 10 days or 40 days. It should be for 365 days, my dear. 365 days. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot change ourselves to become a professional in any field, doing a medicine. How many years you have to go through? I think it should be around, in Pakistan it's 12 plus 5, 17, then 1.5 years for another, residency. It takes around 20 years to become just a graduate of medicine. It takes around similar type of years, number of years, to become an engineer, to do masters in something, 20 years. Then if we go to the for the specialization, it will take another 3, 4, 5 years. We do this schooling for 20 years, like from the age of 5, 6, or before that. Nowadays, because they are pre-schooling and these type of things, so at the age of 2.5 years and 3 years, we send our children to school. So we study in school for 20 more years, 20 plus years, to reach some level. And we think that we can learn about Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and the divine teachings, which will definitely benefit us, not only in this world, but hereafter as well. That will help us to reach the objective of a greater life. Greater life, not life limited to this world, but hereafter as well. How much effort we make to learn, to know something from them. You can count yourself. So we need to consider these things seriously. We cannot just say by reciting Ziyarat-e-Waris or Ziyarat-e-Ashura or some other Ziyarat that we are with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. No. It is just paying respect to them. Ziyarat are paying respect, which is an initial, a basic form of respect. When we say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, this is a basic form of respect. Nobody becomes companion. You pass by with people, lots of people, you say hi, hello, Assalamu alaikum. So you become their friends, their supporters, they become your supporters. No, you have to make some efforts to show that you are really, sincerely, and purely, and devotedly their supporters. The fifth thing. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar.
Nare Risalat.
Ya Rasulullah.
Nare
Haydari.
In Surah Saf, which is chapter number 61, verse number 8 and 9. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. These two verses are the glad tidings for true believers, and these same two verses are also warning for the non-believers as well. What it says, these verses says, "Yuriduna liyutfi'u." Allah mentioning that these kuffar, what they want, yuriduna liyutfi'u nurallahi biafwahihim. What the kuffar want, they want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nurullah, Allah's light. What is Allah's light? Allah's light, Allah's guidance, Allah's teachings. And these kuffar, the so-called having little powers, they say that they would like to extinguish these things with the wind of their mouth. Keep this verse in your mind, and let me connect it with the fifth component of a society. Is that every society requires at least five pillars. That is the education, family structure institution, financial and economic institutions, infrastructures, judiciary, and the fifth is administrative and political system. That this system arrange all these things in an organized manner, so people can avail best of the financial and economic resources, so they can get the justice, so they can acquire knowledge, and also have a good family environment for themselves to groom their children, to bring up their children, and so on. So all these five, they are interrelated things. Even if one of these miss out, that community would not be able to stand firmly on its own feet. Question. If these five components are compulsory and obligatory for every community and every society, so then what is the difference between an Islamic society and a non-Islamic society? If all they need is these five pillars, so what is the difference between? Then why so much efforts, so much resources, so much blood has been spent and shed on this way to achieve that Islamic society? What is the difference? There is only one difference. Only one difference. Surprisingly, just for one difference, so much is going on in this world? Yes. Only for one difference, 124,000 prophets and messengers came in this world to establish a place, a community where the rule is the rule of Allah. Our Islamic society, Imam Hussein sacrificed his life and the life of his companion and his progeny just for one difference. Yes, yes, it is for the one difference. It all goes around one thing. That when we discuss about a non-Islamic environment, society, government, whatever you name it, these components do not revolve around that one thing. But in Islamic society, this all things should encompass and should go around and extract it from that one thing. And that one difference is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in Islamic society, education is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Islamic society, financial and economic structure is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in Islamic society, the family structure is as per the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The laws of judiciary is as per the desire and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the administration and the management and the political system of that society, of that Islamic society, is based on the pure Islamic teachings. And other than Islamic society, they don't have this focal point that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What, when the Prophet came and what he said, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ, say that there is no Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be prosper. Try to understand and think and ponder. So if, now getting the conclusion, if our education is in coordination and in relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are on the path, on the right path. If the cultural norms which prevails in our society, in our community, in our family is based on it, we are on the right path. Similarly, when it comes differences among family members, brothers and sisters, husband and wife, parents and children and so on, so towards whom we turn our faces, towards the contemporary code of our society or towards Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt? Usually we see where we get the most benefit. If we are getting it from Quran, we say, okay, no, we should go to the Mawlana, we should ask him, because we have gone through it, studied, and we know that we will get more benefit. And if we are getting it from the court of the state, of that country, wherever you are living, so you will say, no, I don't accept this and that, we should go to the court. Is it like that? Or no? We are very much clear that being the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, we should be firm in our faith. Save my this sentence, and inshallah I will try to elaborate it. If we are the true believers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, we should be firm in our faith. I will let you know the why. So it should be related. So these five pillars, if we want to excel in our lives as a human being who can reach the excellence, can only go through the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Question. So what about the teachings which is around ourselves? We know that. We have gone through that there are many good teachings in this world from non-believers. So what we should do? Yes. Because there are many teachings in Islam, in Quran, which are based on pure wisdom. If a teaching is based on wisdom, which do not have any, does it not conflict with the principles of Islam, we can adopt it. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam says that wisdom or knowledge is the lost wealth of a mu'min. From wherever you get, wherever you find it, get it for yourselves. So yes, there are good actions, principles, norms in the society in which we people are living all around the world. So it's not that if whatever you see around yourself, you will say, this is an un-Islamic. No, it's not like that. But yes, we cannot take in everything from our society blindfoldedly. We need to keep our eyes open, whether we are awakened or we are sleeping. Our eyes of our these thoughts and these hearts should be open always. We should be careful what we are learning, what our children are learning. Guide them that this is not correct. It should be like that. This is the reason behind it. That's why we follow. And whatsoever you able to guide them, make this center. From last 5 years, I am saying the same thing. I think if not every center have said, I think 98% of the centers I have mentioned. Unfortunately, with this center is the same situation, that the center is not in the center. When the center is not in the center of community, it becomes just like a church for Sundays only. That's it. Centers should be active, proactive. People should come over here at least once in a day, at least for a Maghrib and Isha prayers. Even if it is not a congregational prayer, come over here, meet each other, offer your prayers over here. Although it's not a mosque, you won't get the sawab of mosque. Yes, but reviving and arranging programs together, it has its own effect and its own impact. Not only in our society, for ourselves and in our society, for our kids, but for acceptance of our prayers, it becomes more effective. That if a prayer, a dua has been performed together, has more chances of acceptability. Because even if there is a one person with pure heart, Allah will accept the dua because of the purity of that person. So even those who are having comparatively more faults than that person, collectively we have offered our prayers. How you active make your center an active center, it's you have to decide yourselves. But I am here to guide you whatever I think is best in the benefit of the community. Centers should be in center. Because we make our minds that, okay, we will utilize center only on weekends. So we buy a center in a remote area. In my view, that most of the people should be living in the radius of 15 to 20 minutes of distance. If it's 10 minutes, it's the best. But it's not possible, it should be within the radius of 15 to 20 minutes. Half an hour could be okay, but half an hour distance person would not be able to attend every Maghrib and Isha prayers or some other programs having Dua-i Tawassul in weekdays, Dua-i Kumail, classes, dars. Have get together, have a group discussion. You are knowledgeable people, learned people. Okay, if for the time being you do not have a scholar with you and an alim with you, what you can do, take the responsibility, give responsibility to different people that this time you will prepare a lecture, two verses from Quran and its commentary. The other person has the responsibility to prepare a sermon or few lines from Nahjul Balagha. The third person should prepare something from Sahif Sajjadiyah. The fourth person should bring some fiqhi teachings from Tawziul Masail and some Islamic acts to learn, and so on. These few things, give everyone time for 10 minutes to discuss and explain. In 50 minutes, you can discuss 50 topics. Or at the most with question, answers and discussion, it may prolong for 1.5 hours. Not more than that, with all your tea and munchings and everything will be done. Yes, but the thing is that we need to give importance. We need to see that really, do we need it or we don't? We recite Quran or not? We go through Nahjul Balagha or not? But well, we are Shias, we are Muslim, that's it. Wassalam. No, my dear. This is not so easy for us. We need to ponder and think that what was the message? The question is that, simple question. On the night of 9th of Muharram, when every person got the glad tidings that they will be amongst the Shaheed and they will be placed in paradise, even after that, it has been narrated, companions were offering their prayers, they were reciting Quran, making supplications and duas. Why? They are the people of paradise. Is there any more need to offer prayers when the glad tiding has been given? Why on the day of Ashura, at the time of Zuhur, they stood for prayers, for Zuhur and Asr prayers, they were the people of paradise. Was there any need? People say, Shias of our time says that we are, regardless we offer our prayers or not, offer our salat or not, we do fast or not, we are the people of paradise because we believe in Ahlul Bayt. Imam Hussain himself offered prayers on the 10th of Muharram, on the day of Ashura, his companions. Allahu Akbar. And we deny what he did on the day of Ashura. And we do not give importance to that. Allahu Akbar. My dear, we need to mend our our thoughts, clear our minds, and it can only be done if we go through the teachings of Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad. Now, coming back to the Surah As-Saff, there's the importance of managing all these institutions in a society, and these administrators, these managers will make sure that these institutions must revolve around the focal point, that is the teaching of Quran. So this is very much important. Now here comes, when people try, if this world is a free world and people are free to do whatever they want, if there is a freedom to worship Satan, if there's a freedom to worship idols, if there's a freedom to worship different things and practice differently, then why there is no freedom to practice as per the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? Why, if there is a freedom? This shows that there is no freedom in this world. Whosoever get the chance to suppress a nation, a group of people, they do so. I do not like to go on the scenario which is around ourselves in the different parts of this globe, but you can see the wherever they want, they would like to suppress, and especially in this era, in last few years, you can see wherever the lovers and the devotees of Ahlul Bayt are there, they have been significantly suppressed, they have been killed, they have been beheaded, and so on. They are trying, they have super technology to invade into your house. They have developed, our people around the world, they have developed things that even if you are thinking something wrong, they can test you. They are with that, what you say, lie tester and something like that, you are lying or not. So there are lots of things like that. There are hundreds and thousands of nuclear heads around the world. But what happened? All this, we should be afraid, my dear, how we can live with these so much powerful people around us. We should bow our heads for them. Isn't it like that? The way people used to bow their heads in front of Fir'aun and Namrud and Shaddad and so on. So we should be doing the same thing. So then why we are not doing that? Because there is a message and there is a role model for us. Allah gives us the believers glad tidings, my dear. Those who are talking that these nuclear heads and technology, this media war, this all this thing which they have, people have developed to invade our homes, our cultures, our education, our families, our financial institutions, our judiciary, our governments, but they won't be able to invade. Why? Yuriduna layutfi'u nurallahi biafwahim. Yes, their intentions are clear to destroy and destruct the believers and followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. They have these intentions. Not from now. From years and centuries back, they wanted to destroy and destruct and take astray deviate the direction of believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah says, they have this intention. Yuriduna layutfi'u nurallahi biafwahim. Allah says, all this emanation, all this technology, all these media, all whatever you are afraid of, it is nothing more than a blowing wind of a mouth. That's it. Yes, all that power from which we are afraid, it's nothing for Allah. Not more than a blowing wind from our mouth, from which at times we cannot extinguish the candle as well. From whom we are afraid? Yes, we should be afraid. We should be afraid if we are disconnected with the superpower that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not have the connection, the power supply will not come to us. Yes, at that time we should be afraid. And we shouldn't be afraid for that, because we have a strong link between Allah and between us, that is the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So we have to relate ourselves with Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. If we have a strong link with Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we can get the energy and power and courage and knowledge to fight and encounter all the atrocities and all sorts of their whatever they want try to make us to destroy and disperse in this world. We can face them. The same thing has happened in the battlefield of Badr and Uhud, in battlefield of Hunain and so on. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was a single person. He tried so hard for centuries. He did his tabligh, but nobody accepted him as an apostle and prophet. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, for 950 plus years, he did tabligh and he conveyed the message and words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just few people accepted his message, and that's it. And only those who accompanied him in his ship, that's it. 950 years. Yes. Our responsibility is, my dear, number one, to understand the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Number two, practice in accordance to Quranic and Islamic and teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Number three, groom our children, train our family, educate them as per the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Strengthen our community as per the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Fifth, outreach should convey the message to other fellow beings that this is the message of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. This can only be done if we were able to understand it nicely and correctly. Yes, these are the few responsibilities we have. We need to identify and able to fulfill these responsibilities. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Allah has sent the Holy Prophet that Islam will be all over the world. It's not by force, it's by convincing people. The message should reach to the people. So these are the five things through which we come. Inshallah, tomorrow and day after tomorrow, we will discuss few few of those things tomorrow and day after tomorrow. This was the strategy, this was the direction through which we should be coming, and what should we, these were the areas, these were the five areas we should look for ourselves. Education is a vast area. Economic and finance is a vast area. It's a huge area they need to discuss separately. But still, for self-grooming and purifying our souls and enlighten ourselves spiritually, we'll discuss few of the example things over there. Besides the Quranic verses, we have the examples and role models in Quran, and that's why we do not bow our heads in front of these so-called powerful people, because we know the ultimate power is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have seen the role models like Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. That Imam says, "Mithli la yubaya mithla," that like me, a person will not ever give allegiance and bow his head and surrender in front of these tyrants. A people like Yazid, the tyrant like Yazid, and we, the lovers and followers, this is the message we get. Never ever give your hand in the hand of a person who is the follower of Satan. Never ever bow in front of someone who is a tyrant. Never ever give your allegiance to a person who is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we have to sacrifice our lives. And that's what Imam Hussein taught us in the field of Karbala. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Once more, kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Yes, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, the personality, the character of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and the companions, how it was. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And there were being people in the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were not just a role model, but they used to be most resemble people to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever these Hazrat Zainab, other people would like to remind themselves about the Holy Prophet, they used to call that person. And this person's name was Ali Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar was the Akbar, was the eldest son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. From well before, from Karbala, Imam Hussein has asked him to be ready on the day of Ashura, that he would be the first person amongst the family of Banu Hashim to sacrifice, because Imam should sacrifice first his son, so other people may able to sacrifice themselves and their sons. So nobody can blame that, Imam, you saved your own progeny and you sacrifice other people. Hazrat Ali Akbar has said, yes, I am ready, my father, my beloved father, I am ready. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar was the person when these ladies from Medina, when the caravan was supposed to start their journey towards Makkah, Hazrat Zainab was trying to ride on a camel. Hazrat Ali Akbar saw her aunt that she is trying to climb on the camel. So before she could able to climb, he ran towards Hazrat Zainab. From other side, brother of Hazrat Zainab, that Hazrat Abbas, came, and simultaneously they both helped her to ride easily, comfortably on the back of the camel. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When the time came on the 10th of Muharram, that one after another, companions tender their lives, sacrifice themselves. Hur ibn Rihai, Zuhair ibn Qain, Muslim ibn Awsaja, Burair ibn Khuzair, John, Allahu Akbar, and several other companions and beloved ones of Imam Hussein, they gave and sacrificed their lives. When there were no more companions left, Hazrat Ali Akbar came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, "Oh Baba, oh my father, allow me to go into the battlefield." Imam immediately said, "Yes, my dear, this is your time to go. This is your time to go, but you go first and seek permission from your aunt Zainab." Because she was the one who has brought you up. She has taken care of you when you were a little kid. She loves you the most. Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar went into the camp to seek the permission of Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Namiduna waktike Ali Akbar Warid khayme shod Chegune azam mesh jose gireb Sarish ro ruhe pehlo ish guzay Mislin ki az bachcho ki ish adatish bood Vakti mekhad Chizi ro az ammesh begire Mir mirav Sarish ro mizash ruhe pehlo ish Hamin tor guzash Sarish ro ruhe pehlo ish Hazrat Zainab Zainab pursid Ali Akbar chi mikhay az man Ali Akbar go Amme jan Mara rukhsat بدهید که به میدان بروم و دفاع اسلام بکنم. الله اکبر، الله اکبر. نیمالوم علی اکبر خیمے میں جب وارد ہوئے تو کس طرح سے اپنی پھپھی سے اجازت لی. اللہ اکبر ایک بچپن کی عادت تھی, جب کوئی چیز مانگنی ہوتی تھی تو اپنا سر پہلوے جناب زہرا زینب پہ رکھ دیتے تھے. جناب زینب نے پوچھا علی اکبر مجھ سے کیا چاہتے ہو, آج اس غربت میں مجھ سے کیا مانگنے آئے ہو؟ اللہ اکبر, علی اکبر نے کہا پوپی اماں آپ کی اجازت لینا چاہتا ہوں, میں چاہتا ہوں اس جان کو فدا کر دوں اسلام کی خاطر, اپنے بابا کی خاطر. اللہ اکبر. حضرت زینب when he asked for her permission, حضرت زینب said oh علی اکبر I give you my permission but just let me know that whenever we wanted to see and want to remember the holy prophet we used to call you علی اکبر علی اکبر آ جاؤ, we would like to see the holy prophet. علی اکبر was just resemble absolutely in his features, in his talk, in his character and personality to the resemble of the holy prophet. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. A historian and writer says it happened twice. What happened twice? We saw the curtain of camp raise and comes down. It raised up and comes down as if someone would like to come out of the camp and could not be able to come out. Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar mikhaste az khayme berun biravar. Wali bachcha me umadan in sakine me umal pursi. ای برادر جانم چرا مرا تنها میگذاری؟ اللہ اکبر. علی اکبر باہر نکلنا چاہتے تھے, خیمے کا پردہ اٹھتا تھا گر جاتا تھا. ارے معلوم ہوا کہ علی اکبر باہر جانا چاہتے تھے, کوئی نہ کوئی بی دامن تھام لیتی تھی اور کہتی تھی علی اکبر کس کے سارے چھوڑ جاتے ہو. ارے کوئی بھی کہتی تھی بچی بھیا کس کے سارے چھوڑ کر جا رہے ہو. اللہ اکبر. Ultimately علی اکبر came out of the camp to امام حسین علیہ السلام and said I took permission of my own, now I would like take your permission and go towards the battlefield. اللہ اکبر. علی اکبر rode on the back of horse and he went into the battlefield, and when he was reciting the raj and he was saying ana ali ibn al husayn ibn ali, that I am introducing himself, that I am ali son of husayn, my grandson is ali ibn abi talib, and we are the superior people because we are the household of the holy prophet. Allahu Akbar. And Ali Akbar fought so bravely that he killed more than 200 people. He slaughtered and sent them towards the Jahannam, towards the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. But he himself got hurt. Allahu Akbar. Badane zakhmi shod. بدنش زخمی شد, تشنگی بر بدنش سخت شد. اللہ اکبر. زخمی حالت میں پیاسے علی اکبر میرے مولا حسین کے پاس آتے, کہتے ہیں بابا بہت پیاس لگی ہے. اللہ اکبر. علی اکبر کیا آپ کو نہیں معلوم پانی موجود نہیں ہے؟ لیکن شاید جواب آئے گا, اگر بچہ اپنے باپ کے پاس آ کر نہیں کہے تو کس سے کہے گا؟ علی اکبر کو معلوم ہے کہ خیمے میں پانی موجود نہیں. He came to his father and said, "Oh, my father, I am feeling too thirsty." Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein said, Oh my son, bear with this thirst, and soon you will find your Jad Rasulullah, that he will bring water for you." And he gave his ring, one of his aqiq ring, and asked that, "Keep it in your mouth, maybe it give you some nourishment." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And Ali Akbar went back. And when he went back, he again slaughtered more than 200, 300 people alone. And when Amr ibn Sa'd said that this Ali Akbar cannot be taken easily, he asked his army men, surround him from all sides. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And people started throwing arrows towards him. One of them threw his spear, which pierced into his heart. Allahu Akbar. The other person bring down his sword on his head. Imam Hussein, who was watching the fierce fighting of his brave son, could not able to see in the dusty cloud of Karbala. He was just looking to trace out where his son is. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar came down from his sword and said, "Alayka minni salam ya abate." Oh my father, accept my last salam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In one of the books of Maqtal, it has been mentioned that the horse took Ali Akbar deep into the battlefield between the group of army men. And when he reached, they slaughtered, they cut him into pieces. Allahu Akbar. In the Maqtal Navishte, Marhum Mukarram Abdul Razak Mukam Navishte, Wakti ke in Zin Amin Umad, Poish Gir Gash to Zinesh, and Asbord Dakhil in Dushman Ha, and Ha Wakti ke Didan Ali Akbar, Hich Kasron and Ara, Teke Shkarda. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Maqatil mein likha hai ki Ali Akbar ki laash ko itne zakhm kiye gaye, itne zakhm maare gaye. Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar ka akhri salam sunna tha. Ali Akbar ka akhri salam sunna tha ki mere maula daudte hue Ali Akbar ki taraf gaye. Yes, when he heard the last salam of Ali Akbar, he went towards Ali Akbar. When he reached, Ali Akbar was still breathing. He said, Ali Akbar, why you have put your hand on your chest?" He said, "Father, there is nothing. He was hiding something." Imam removed his hand and saw that there is a spearhead in his chest, in his heart. Allahu Akbar. Imam took out that spearhead from the chair. The moment he did so, a fountain of blood came out from his chest. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The ruh, the soul of Ali Akbar went to us, advanced to us, his ancestors, Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam, you know Imam Hussein, what he did? He put his cheek on the cheek of Ali Akbar and said, Ba'd dunya, ba'd Allahu Akbar. He said, oh, this world, ba'd, after Ali Akbar, there is no use to live in you. Allahu Akbar. He was so distressed. Allahu Akbar. And he saw the injured body of Ali Akbar. He could not able to handle. It's been narrated. He asked and sought the help of Abbas and other people. Oh Abbas, come and help me. Oh Abbas, Abbas, come and help me. Allahu Akbar. They took the body of Ali Akbar in the camps where ladies were there. When Zainab saw his beloved Ali Akbar. Zainab saw his beloved Ali Akbar has been cut into pieces, is injured. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There was the crying hue in the camp. Wa Muhammada, wa Aliya, wa Fatima, wa Hasana. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي هلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم أبهام السلام على الحسين وعلى آله ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Our 12th Imam in Ziyaratuna, it says salam on the pieces cut off from the body. Salam to the bodies scattered into the battlefield of Karbala. Salam to Ali Akbar, the eldest son of Hussein, the one who sacrificed his life from his family. Allahu Akbar. Salam to the hats put on the spears and taken from one city to another. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله 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 يا الله. والله بحق مظلومية الحسين عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. والله بحق الحسين hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam. O Allah, enlighten our souls and our intellects with the light of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, give us tawfiq to be brave and guided ones like Ali Akbar alayhi salam. O Allah, give us tawfiq to understand Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and spread them all over the world. O Allah, give us tawfiq to serve Islam and Muslimin. O Allah, help all the oppressed people all around the world. O Allah, give health and prosperity to all our ulama and marajain. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam and give us tawfiq to be amongst his true and pure believers. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا ماتم حسين اسمه